right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Texas Billy is on. Gritterdom is on. Lady Vu is on. Spoken 007 is on. Will Gilbert is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Granite 2468 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Skunk 71 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Judy Anita is on. TJT1 is on. DK Jackson is on. Let's see, Mike Griffith is on, Buckeye Nut 1968 is on, Peace Sus is on, JD Wool is on, Snarl Barkley is on, Keeper 1376 is on, Just Jesse is on, Milwaukee James is on, Bud Dave is on, 23 Justin Blake is on, Blade Runner is on, Steffa Toms is on, Guitar Glenn is on, let's see here, USA Abbey Girl is on, Boy 7 Howdy is on. All right, K4VMS is on, Sunwoo 45 is on, Salty Gonads is on, Judy Anita is on, Drummer for Jesus is on, Todd Suff is on, Levin Carl 11 is on, Clean Sanchez is on, Steffa Toms is on, DC941 is on. All right, let me scroll down here just a minute. Golfmaster 1 is on, Luann 5 is on, Mobetta 01 is on, Alpha Acres is on. Let's see here, get a couple more. Gucci Buckeye is on. Producer Aaron is on. Let me see here. Ab Seeks Truth is on. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let me just say a couple things off of the pregame, reference our media. As you can see with the last video, the word of today from the Mockingbird, Goebbels, prop the media is ambush. I mean, there's really no denying it, is it? I mean, there really is no denying that there is a universal email that goes out to all leftist journalists. And have you ever noticed, too, with the Jake Tapper interviews that he acknowledges right-wing media? That means if there's right-wing media, then what is Jake Tapper? So obviously all left-wing, he never actually acknowledges that he's left-wing, except for purely espousing the virtues of the Democratic Party and the globalist left. That's his job. And, of course, covering up the Joe Biden cover-up. But anyway, so they all come up with the exact same verbiage. It obviously gets sent to them via memorandum, via email. I mean, come on, it's every single channel. Not only is it every single channel, it's every single show on every single channel at all times using the same word, which was ambush. And then you had the Yamiche Alcindor side-by-side that we showed from Western Lensman, where she's asking Kamala Harris, Aaron, give me a Kamala.
Kamala.
There she's asking Kamala Harris about her mom and, you know, what's your journey like? And then, of course, she is herself ambushing ambushing the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, ambushing her about who has verified these videos that Donald Trump showed the prime minister or president of South Africa. Who verified these? Who verifies any video? I mean, you know, we all know deep fakes and everything else, but I'm just talking about who verifies any political video. The people who actually verify political videos are in the same party as the people showing the videos. So there is no legitimate verification. When where were these questions whenever Joe Biden showed a video? Where's these verifications? And last thing on this too, is anybody who's buying the Jake Tapper book, you're just giving money to the left, just so you know. I think the sales are doing well. And a lot of the sales are coming from the right wing. Why would we ever buy a book about that, which we already knew 5 years before Jake Tapper ever printed it? People are buying it. I mean, because there's some sort of new insights. There's nothing more to see. There's nothing new under the sun. We already saw Joe Biden mumble, bumble, stumble, fall. We already saw it a million times. There's nothing more to read in there except for Democrats trying to cover up the cover up. I mean, you think about what Jake Tapper's doing, because I could spend the whole night on Jake Tapper, because boy, is he ever doing a media tour right now. I mean, you had the cover up that he participated in. So what he's trying to do is cover up the cover up that he covered up. That's all that he's doing. He's trying to cover up his own cover up of the cover up. That's it. So, I mean, I can't believe that any conservative would actually buy that. All right, let's go to the shooting in D.C. Mario Nafal video, D.C. embassy shooter charged with double murder. The man identified as Elias Rodriguez. And just so everybody knows, as usual, Aaron, as usual, Will, as usual, everybody watching, who commits the acts of violence, the very people who accuse us of committing acts of violence that we never in fact commit. It's always right-wing extremists are the number one threat to America. White supremacist terrorists are the number one existential threat to America, according to the former FBI director, according to the Biden administration. White supremacist terrorists, domestic terrorists, are the number one threat to America. But we never do anything. And there is no white supremacist terrorists. Where are they? I mean, who are they? Where are they? I mean, they were getting rid of people in the military because they're white supremacist terrorists. There aren't any. The only people that are actually committing acts of violence are transgenders and transgender men pretending to be women. Although, correction, sorry. We did have the Nashville shooter who was a woman pretending to be a man. And people on the left. And here's another Palestinian activist. If you notice, I know everybody's already seen these videos, but you just have to make sure you cover it on your podcast. And I'm just going to cover it briefly. But Elias Rodriguez, the shooter here, and by the way, the two people that he shot, one's a Christian and one's a Jew of Jewish descent. They were about to get engaged. So, I mean, that's who he shot for making his big move. But he's a leftist. He is a devout Democratic Party, Palestinian-supporting leftist, American citizen. A devout leftist. We never commit acts of violence. Where do we even when they say January 6th, which was a Fed insurrection instigated by the Feds, Republicans did stupid things on that day, but not violent things on that day. The people that were committing acts of violence were people like John Sullivan, who are actually Antifa. Those are the people that were actually, are there any exceptions to a rule, to the rule when there's a couple thousand protesters? Maybe. But no guns? Who's killing people? Who's actually shooting human beings? They want to take away our Second Amendment rights. This is the classic Soros modus operandi. Mass violence committed by the left so that the right gets their guns taken away, so that the left can then, in totalitarianism, rule over the right. Get that? The left commits the acts of violence, which are used as a precipice to take away our guns so we can't defend ourselves against leftist violence. So then leftist totalitarianism comes in, as has always happened, whether it was Hitler, whether it was Stalin, it's always confiscating. Mao confiscating it. It's closing the churches and confiscating weapons. It's what they always do. Always do. And of course, you always mix in, if you're going to have a girl, if you're going to have a Hitler, you got to have a Goebbels. If you're going to have a Hitler, you got to have a Mengele. And who's the ones that are committing mass genocide via vaccines, mass genocides via abortions, mutilations of human beings and children via science experimentation? Never us. Never us. I mean, listen, we could simply just say, let's compare our numbers every year in violence, shall we? You murder 41.2 million babies a year in the womb. You want to say there's an occasional right winger who commits violence? But by the way, I can't even say it because I'm trying to think of any. I haven't seen one where a right winger commits an act of violence against any leftist, including any transgender person. I can't find one video, not one. And believe me, I know, because I have no life and this is what I do. I'm looking constantly, hours every day. There's not one right winger committing an act of violence ever. I mean, Aaron, would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't find any.
No.
I mean, I guess I'd have to ask somebody else, but I guarantee you, you know, the shows that I watch are Bannon. It was Bongino, Bannon, and Alex Jones. Now Bongino's in the FBI and for some reason deciding to become stupid. I don't know why. But anyway, so now it's Alex Jones and Steve Bannon. We would all chronicle right-wing violence because we would try to get it stopped. But they don't ever show any videos either of any right-wing violence because there isn't any. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, all the videos you see are people with Trump hats getting like beat up.
Yeah, that's
and
all
people
it is.
With Teslas getting their cars keyed.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole Tesla thing. When do we ever do that? Oh, no, the person that we wanted to get elected didn't get elected. Let's go find the business of the person that got elected that we didn't want to get elected, and let's burn it down. When do we ever do that?
Right. Mostly peaceful.
Now, listen very close to this video. Mario Nafal video. D.C. embassy shooter charged with double murder. The man identified as Elias Rodriguez was seen shouting, "Free, free Palestine." Tell me how many times you've heard this in the exact same cadence as he says it. Play for me, Will. So you have it. And you look at that guy right there. He's a dad bod, muscleless, fat moron who looks like he's lived off of Snickers bars and Hot Pockets his entire life, and now he thinks he's this big time hero. You can roll it, Aaron, without the sound. But anyway, I mean, just look at the guy. I mean, what mark in life could this guy ever make except to gun down two innocent people? And it doesn't matter where you stand on Israel via Palestine. No matter what, this was instigated by Netanyahu. We'll get into all of that. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter. This guy's still a murderer, and the two people that were gunned down were completely innocent. Now, this guy gets to spend the rest of his life never touching a woman if he escapes a lethal injection. Congratulations, moron. Boy, he's really good. I wonder how he's going to feel about this, Aaron Will, 6 months from now. When he realizes, you know what, I'm what, 30 years old, and I'm never going to see a woman again. Great job, moron. And you'll probably end up being on the receivership in the shower in the federal prison.
That's right. Bend over and grab that soap for me.
If you would just do me a favor. Congratulations, moron. I mean, it's really, really ridiculous. I mean, it really is. Let me play this video first. Then we'll get down into all the conspiracy possibilities. And again, people think that you can't be specific. You can't live in specificity. You can. You can honestly say Israel does evil things and not be pro-Palestinian. And you can and you can say a pro-Palestinian thing and not hate Israel. You can do both. Does everybody realize that? Because it's all specifics. And by the way, unless it is under the true banner of Jesus Christ, that you've repented of your sins and received him as Lord and Savior, everybody is following the prince of the power of the air outside of the legitimately born-again Christian. And I have to specify that today because there's a lot of people and going to these lukewarm churches that are not really Christians. They're the ones who donned the mask, closed their churches, took vaccines, pimped and hoard vaccines and masks from their pulpits. They're lukewarm Christians. So you have to really be specific about what it means to be a Christian, because nowadays it's simply, you know what, a fresh start and a new beginning, and let's give Jesus a chance. No, it's either receive him, you know, be converted, repent and be converted, Acts 3:19. That's what it's really all about. All right, but that's a lot of times it's not legit. So if it's not a legit Christian walk, you're either following Jesus via a legit Christian walk or the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, where the people of disobedience are following him. That's everybody. Everybody who's not saved, that's them. I'm not saying there aren't good conservatives, but conservatism isn't going to get you to heaven. Conservatism doesn't wash your sin away like the blood of Jesus. So you're following one or the other. Prince of the power of the air, the Holy Ghost. That's it. Well, I don't follow anybody. Prince of the power of the air.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I'm an agnostic. Prince of the power of the air. Atheist. Prince of the power of the air. It doesn't matter if you're neutral. It doesn't matter if you're spiritually Switzerland. That's prince of the power of the air. Just like what happens in Switzerland. They bend over and they become Germans for 4 or 5 years. That's what happens. But anyway, so when you see these things, you're like, Israel versus Palestine, they're both ruled by the prince of the power of the air. They both want violence. They both do. Oh, the Palestinian victims. They all voted for Hamas. 66% of that population that got bombed into obliteration voted for the people who caused them to be bombed. And like when October 2023 happened and they were and the raid into Israel, 1,400 people were in fact murdered and raped. Raped and murdered. I mean, everybody knows that, right? That did actually happen. Yeah, but it was caused by Mossad. The CIA warned and nothing was done. How in the world can you penetrate one of the most advanced air defense forces, air defense umbrellas in the world via paraglider? Because somebody in Israel is complicit. We all know that. It's like Bongino and Cash Patel coming out and saying that Crooks was solely responsible for J-13 in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Come on.
I mean, come on. Because obviously, there's no way to penetrate one of the strongest air defenses on the planet. I mean, Israel? There's no way to get through there with paragliders, okay? Unless you called for a stand down, just like it was called for in Butler, Pennsylvania. Yep. So there's obviously, but they both want the war. They both want it. They both want the violence. Palestine has been offered its own state. It doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. What the facts are is they were offered their state 6 times and turned it down. They were offered their own two-state solution 6 times and turned it down. 6 times, turned it down. That's an absolute fact. It's indisputable. That's what happened. Did Israel go too far with the bombing? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Everyone else, oh yeah, it goes way too far. How do you know? And by the way, Israel, whenever they're bombing, they send out leaflets first to tell everybody to get out of there. And then Hamas pays people to stay. Hamas has received billions and billions of U.S. dollars that was supposed to be for humanitarian aid that they used to buy weapons and build tunnels. Those are all facts. Okay, but which one's more evil? Hamas is more evil. You're going to have to find a place where Israeli soldiers, that the IDF, crossed into Palestine, Syria, Jordan, everything else, and used shovels to behead people and raped numerous women. Go ahead, find it. You're not. There's all kinds of claims that the IDF has done that, but we have actual video proof of Hamas doing it, but why is there never any actual video proof of Israel doing it? Because if you, listen, for me, you have to pick. They're both, listen, they're both, look at the United States. Are we going to continue to think that we wear white robes? Are we really going to continue to think that when Pearl Harbor is a sham? Aaron, I'm going to check this every day until it comes out, unless I forget. How's that Epstein flight log looking?
Still not out.
Okay, why is that not out? If we're righteous, why is Epstein not been? Why is the Epstein flight log? I'm not talking about. Well, we have to redact victims. Okay, now they've had the Epstein, the current FBI for 120 days, the old FBI for a decade. They've had all of this Epstein material and they couldn't have redacted the victims' names yet in all these years. And by the way, as I've told you a dozen times already, if you are a veteran of writing police reports, of which I am, 25 years in law enforcement, the victims are already redacted when you write the report. So it's all a big sham. We need to get the victims out. They're already redacted. All you have to do is watch the videos and chronicle who are the suspects and write them down. That is open information. That is open source data now. That is public release information. You know, FOIA information very easily. Public available information. So we aren't wearing white robes either, folks. I mean, we all need to understand that. Who killed JFK? Who killed RFK? Who shot Donald Trump? Who then tried to shoot Donald Trump, Ryan Routh? Who's behind those things? I mean, come on. That's the whole thing. It's not a matter of, you say one thing positive about Israel. You're pro-Israel. You're asking me, man to man, woman to man, who do I pick? Hamas, Israel? Israel, Israel, and again, Israel. There you go. It's very easy for me. Does that mean that I think Netanyahu's a great guy? No, I don't. I think he's a warmonger, globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist who wants biometric ID for the entire state of Israel. That's a fact. And very excited about lab-grown meat. Ugh. Very excited about it. Remember him doing the tours? Oh my gosh, this is just like eating chicken. Ugh. All right, so here's a Betya Unger Sargon video. Sarah Milgram, a Kansas City girl, and Yaron Leshinsky, a devout Christian, were murdered by a college-educated terrorist, Elias Rodriguez, who chanted the exact words and the exact cadence of thousands of college protesters. Play for me.
I want to just make a point about the victims here. Sarah Milgram is a Kansas City girl, and Yaron Leshinsky, his father is Jewish, but he is a devout Christian. And this love story between them very much represents the history of America, that love story between Jews and Christians, American Christians being, of course, the first population in human history to organize their religion and their country around the protection of Jews, around cherishing Jews, rather than oppressing us. So for them to have been gunned down, this Jewish girl from Kansas City and this devout Christian, because he threw his lot in with the Jews on American soil, This is a crime against everything our nation has stood for since its founding. Because this country has always protected its Jews. And to this day, American working class people, middle class people, stand with the Jewish people and stand with Israel. On the other side, you have what you were talking about, Will. You have this young man who has a college education, whose manifesto reads like a bad English paper, who was chanting the exact chants in the exact cadence that you hear it on university campuses across this country. I mean, what did they think globalize the Intifada meant? It meant this. And so you're completely correct that this is homegrown terrorism that was born up through this university to Tentifada pipeline, and this is the result. And of course, that is not to take away anybody's free speech rights. Everybody has a free speech right, you know, to say whatever they want. But I would just ask my fellow Americans, do you think it is right to ask Jewish students to show up on a college campus where they have to hear the same chants in the same cadence that came out of the mouth of a terrorist right after he murdered two people because they stood with the Jews or were Jews? The answer to that is no.
Everything outside of the gospel is gray. Just so everybody knows, that's really what it is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever's more than these is from the evil one. You listen, when you're supporting something, if you are all in, it's got to be Jesus. Otherwise, you have got to be discriminating. You've got to be critical. You can't be all in on Israel. You cannot be all in on Palestine. You can't be all in on Republican. You can't be all in on Trump. Everything outside of the Word of God, you need to use a measure of being critical, a measure of discrimination. You've got to go in there and discern what is right and what is wrong. And when you have the tent of the people who are right wing and everything except Israel, who sides with you in the Palestinian debate? Look at Tentifada sides with you. The people burning down cities, does that mean that Israel is 100% right? No. Israel, for all intents and purposes, is a participant in the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, global cabal. They really are. But you have to work in nuance and then decide, what do I support here? What do I support there? I mean, that's what you have to do. So, I mean, if you're somebody on the right, this is what you're supporting if you're supporting the Palestinians. There they are. You're supporting the people and the movement that is the antithesis of everything that you believe as a right-wing political activist or just as a right-wing voter. That's what you're suddenly supporting? How can that be right? And this is why so many Christians and so many right-wingers got vaxxed, closed their businesses, closed their churches, stood 6 feet apart, wore masks, self-quarantined. They actually believe they believed the people, the quote-unquote experts, who are the antithesis of everything they believe politically and even everything they believe theologically and philosophically. You have to be real careful with that. That doesn't mean now, because you're more pro-Israel than pro-Hamas, that you're not very critical of Israel, because I certainly am. Israel right now, just leave all this up. Israel right now, this is a very, let's be critical of Israel. It's a very, Aaron, would you agree it's very strange timing on the shooting?
Yeah.
Very strange, isn't it? And it's very strange that this idiot, because you can see he's an idiot. I mean, Elias Rodriguez, obviously manipulated by intel forces somewhere. Mossad, CIA, MI6. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. You can see with this, with the timing of this, how in the world would somebody as dumb as Elias Rodriguez know that these are embassy workers? How would he know that? Anybody think, I mean, how would you know that these two people work at the embassy? They were very highly thought of in the Israeli embassy. How would he know that these are embassy workers, that they are actually embassy workers? Because everybody, there's myriads and myriads of people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people per day walking in and out. How would he know that these two work there? How would he know that? Where did he get that information from? And right now, this shooting happens right when Netanyahu is Donald Trump and Netanyahu hate each other. Let's just make that clear. So you're like, Tom, you vacillate. No, I don't vacillate back and forth. I operate in the truth. You will not see me vacillate on the Bible. Not at all. Not one bit. Ask anybody who attends the church. Ask anybody who attends Foundation Church to watch this. How often does Tom vacillate on the Bible? Never. If the Bible says it, I believe it. That settles it. It's over. That's it. Bible tells me I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. Bible tells me I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Bible tells me I'm right. I'm right. Bible tells me I'm wrong. I'm wrong. That's it, though. Everything else gets scrutinized. Right now, Netanyahu and Trump hate each other. It's being said from Alex Jones's sources that Trump brings him into back rooms and screams at him, literally screams at Netanyahu. We saw him settle things with the Houthis and the Houthis, of course, are Iranian-backed terrorists out of Yemen, but Iranian-backed terrorists that we've basically been at war with for 5 years because the Biden administration refused to settle it. And I don't mean settle it in a peaceful way. All you need to do is do what Trump did, do a very surgical, tactical strike, and it's over. And the Houthis capitulated right away with no concessions by us, all concessions by them, which is a pure victory. Again, Hegseth, congratulations to Hegseth and Trump. But anyway, Donald Trump settled that without even talking to Netanyahu. And these are Iranian-backed Houthis because Netanyahu wants to start bombing Iran. And what he wants to do is actually bomb it and then Iran retaliate and then we'd have to get involved. Netanyahu's an idiot. He is. See what I mean? Tom, I thought you were more pro-Israel than pro-Hamas. I am. But I can honestly look at Netanyahu. Does that mean I think Israel is righteous? No. You have to do the same thing with the United States. United States versus Canada. Who would I pick? Obviously, the United States. Does that mean that the United States, Biden was our president 4 or 5 months ago. So I would have to side with Biden over Trudeau. There's a glorious choice. Talk about Sophie's choice. Right? See what I'm saying? That's how life is. Everything outside of Jesus. If it's Jesus, 100% in, unequivocal, unwavering, right there. Everything else, critical. And because people change like the shifting shadows, Jesus does not. So Netanyahu wants to involve us in this Iranian war. Lo and behold, a shooting happens just in time. By the way, that happens every time in the United States too. Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis. Suddenly, right before Jake Tapper's book comes out and all of his Robert Hurt tapes are being released. Mm-hmm. Oh, suddenly Biden gets, okay, it's all the same. It's just everything we've been taught, everything that we see going all the way back. What was truly righteous in many ways was 1776. But even then we were all taught wrong. How many of us knew that only 3% of Americans actually participated in the Revolutionary War? Everybody else stood there with their thumbs up their rectums. It's a fact. 3%. That's it. They fought that war. Everyone else just stood there. That just sounds familiar. Doesn't that sound familiar? Because you and I are probably part of that 3%. We're the ones who actually say what needs to be said. How many people took the vaccination in the United States of America? Does anybody know? Do you know the percentage? Out of 100%, how many people took it in the United States? Go ahead and shout it out if you guys know. What do you think? What do you think, Will? What do you think, Aaron?
How many? 80?
60.
Will's got 60. Aaron's got 80. Aaron's got it. 80% of America took that vaccination.
Yeah.
All right. 80% of America. So you and I didn't. If you were on there and if you took the vaccination, you need to pray that poison gets leached out of your body right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. He'll do it in Jesus' name. But anyway, 80% of the people caved, took the vaccination. 80% freaking. Of America. 5+ billion people worldwide took that thing. All right. So, I mean, it's more than that, too. It's probably way higher than 5 billion. That's an old number. But, and they're still pimping it, which I don't know. Gosh, I can't believe it's already 937. But anyway, I've got to get to the vaccine. I've got to get to some of the vaccine stuff because that's huge. Man, I haven't gotten to anything yet. But anyway, it's Will's fault. Let's all blame Will. Everybody agree? Let's blame Will. If you want to blame Will, let's put it on the chat. Blame Will. It's Blame Will Thursday. We don't have him on Thursday. I'm on Friday, so we got to blame him tonight. We can blame Aaron tomorrow. But anyway, it's very convenient timing. So am I very skeptical of this shooting? Yeah. Do I think it's possibly orchestrated by Mossad? Yeah. Do I know that? No. No. Or what Alex Jones said today was very brilliant. What happens is you get all these ingredients together and Netanyahu hopes for an organic event like this, but if he can't get an organic event, he'll do an antagonized event. He'll antagonize it. He'll instigate it to happen. See what I mean? It's one of those two. And then what happens too with events like this, criticizing the right wing, is then you end up with, and left wing, laws in the state of Florida, and we have basically, did everybody realize we have basically almost the same law in the state of Florida as we do in New York? One being passed by Hochul, one being passed by the greatest governor in the history of Florida, Ron DeSantis, that basically it's illegal to have a Palestinian flag. How does that work with the First Amendment?
Yeah, right.
If you want to have a Palestinian flag, you can. It's America. If you want to hate Jesus, you can hate Jesus. I don't agree with you, but you can. You can hate Allah. You can hate the Quran. You can hate the Bible. Whatever it is, you can hate whatever you want. And you can put that out there. You can post it. That you hate Jesus. You can post it if you want. But you're facing up to 4 years in prison in the state of New York if you hang a Palestinian flag. How does that advance democracy? And right-wingers are behind it. You cannot have a ban on anti-Semitic speech. You can't. Because then you're going to empower the next, which will be a ban on anti-Muslim speech, and then we're London. And then what about all of us as Christians? Well, okay, well, now we're going to fight for a ban on anti-Christian speech. And what does anti mean anyway? Then you have some Nina Jankowicz deciding what is anti and what is not. You see all the different tributaries to all these different rivers, and they all need to be discussed, and we need to land in true federalist democracy, constitutional republic democracy. All right, let's get on to this one. Daily Wire tweet. Breaking the big, beautiful bill has officially passes in the House with zero Democrat votes, 215 to 14. People are heralding this as a great success. Let me just tell you, it flat out isn't. Everybody that I haven't listened to Bannon about it yet. Alex Jones was, I only heard a little snippet of what he said about it today. He was pretty nominal on it. This is not a win, folks, just so you know. It's a political win for DJT, but it's really not a win at all. Just so you know, it's absolutely not a win because it's continued spending at Biden levels. Not one penny less. So what we're spending this year in this bill, the big, beautiful bill, BBB, and I call it the big, beautiful boondoggle, but what we are spending is $6.8 trillion, and we're going to bring in $4.8 trillion in tax revenue. So explain to me how that's going to work. Thank you, Aaron. You are the boss. Seriously. Seriously, how's that going to work? Nothing's going to change here. How's that going to work? Nothing changes. So what about all that? Look at all that Doge money. That's reabsorbed in the big, beautiful bill, the BBB. The triple B. It's gone now. That 461 you see down there, that's already reabsorbed and spent in this new budget that Donald Trump is heralding as a victory. See, like, I love Trump. I hope that we can figure out a way for him to run again because I'm voting for him again. He's the best president of my lifetime. In my opinion, the best president. He belongs on Mount Rushmore as the best president in U.S. United States history. But he better get this under control or it won't matter because you'll be presiding as the best president in United States history over a broke country. That will then list into civil war because everybody's economy is gone. The dollar's worth nothing. You're going to have to address this. So let's go to this next one. Aaron, just keep that thing holstered and ready. All right, Thomas Massie video. I'd love to stand here and tell the American people we can cut your taxes, increase spending, and everything will be fine. Play for me.
The gentleman from Kentucky is recognized for 90 seconds.
Well, I'd love to stand here and tell the American people we can cut your taxes and we can increase spending and everything's going to be just fine. But I can't do that because I'm here to deliver a dose of reality. This bill dramatically increases deficits in the near term, but promises our government will be fiscally responsible 5 years from now. Where have we heard that before? How do you bind a future Congress to these promises? This bill is a debt bomb ticking. Congress can do funny math, fantasy math, if it wants, but bond investors don't. And this week, they sent us a message. Moody's downgraded our credit rating, and the bond investors who buy our debt and finance our debt demanded higher interest rates on the 10-year note, the 20-year note, and the 30-year note. What does this mean? Very soon, the government will be paying $16,000 of interest alone per U.S. family. And what are we telling them? Instead of taking care of that problem, we're going to give you a $1,600 tax break. Under the taxing and spending levels in this bill, we're going to rack up, the authors say, $20 trillion of new debt, over the next 10 years. I'm telling you, it's closer to $30 trillion of new debt in the next 10 years. Mr. Speaker, we're not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic tonight. We're putting coal in the boiler and setting a course for the iceberg. If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight. I oppose this bill.
Gentleman's time has expired.
He's exactly right. Now, folks, those are all indisputable facts. How is it that you govern as a Republican with the characteristics of a Democrat? How are you a Republican when you spend at the same level as a Democrat? How do you campaign on fiscal responsibility and spend $7 trillion when you only bring in $4 trillion? How is that? How would all the rest of us, when we go into prison, they just print more money? And this is now Donald Trump's administration, folks. Listen, there's no way around this. You can stop watching me all you want. It doesn't stop that. Now I'm going to switch to this podcast where they're positive about Trump. Doesn't stop that. It's like I tell people in church, believe what you want. Judgment Day's still coming. You're going to be a vessel of grace or a vessel of wrath? Still coming. You believe what you want, think what you want, be as offended as you want. Judgment Day's still coming. I don't really agree. I don't really like the tone of. I don't really like the tone or tenor of that pastor. So I'm going. Doesn't change Judgment Day. There's Judgment Day right here. And you cannot, as a Republican, have no attributes of a Republican. How is it that we have Republicans who run on fiscal responsibility spending like Democrats? And what's funny is that not one Democrat voted for it. So think about what kind of political whore and prostitute they are. Yeah. It's the same thing. Why are they not voting for it? It's all the same stuff. They claim that Medicaid is being cut. Medicaid's not being cut at all. They're going after waste, fraud, and abuse of Medicaid. But does Medicaid need to be cut? Yes. You're gonna have to attack entitlements, or this is not gonna stop. And if this doesn't stop, we're finished. Everybody wants to talk about all the sexy stuff. No. What did Al Capone get arrested on? Murder, rape, robbery, illegal sales of alcohol? No. He got hit for tax fraud. That's it. Not sexy, died in prison from venereal disease. Nothing sexy about any of that, is there? Nothing sexy about this, but the Republicans just voted for it and Donald Trump stamped his approval. Donald Trump actually went in and reinvigorated the whole thing. And now is spending at Biden levels. But hey, Aaron, don't worry though. We're spending on more Republican things.
Oh.
What's the difference? what's the difference? It's still being spent. We don't have this money. So what's happening? Printing press. That's it. Therefore, increasing what your budget is, increasing prices on everything, because you're gonna have to print more money. Where are we gonna? Does everybody understand that there's nothing magic out there? It's simply being printed by the people who hate Trump, Jerome Powell, and the Federal Reserve. Does everyone realize this? I honestly don't get it. Only two Republicans didn't vote for this: Thomas Massie and one other guy I never heard of. That's it. Two people. What is going on here? Even all the Chip Roys of the world, okay, because you know they got to be approved by Trump. See, I won't do that. I love Trump, but I'm not taking a knee to anybody, ever. I take a knee to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's it. Everybody else gets criticized. Everybody else, you have to look at them circumspectly. You have to look at everything with an honest eye. This big, beautiful bill is a big, beautiful boondoggle. Put the next one up for me, Will. Babylon Bee summed it up, and they're right, Wing. Would everyone agree?
Yeah.
Congress split between those who want to spend a ridiculous amount and those who want to spend an even more ridiculous amount. That's it. That's it. And this is actually the perfect summation of Capitol Hill, because the Democrats are the ones who want to spend an even more ridiculous amount until we get in power. Then we become the party who wants to spend an even more ridiculous amount.
Yep.
You have a party who wants to spend a ridiculous amount and a party that wants to spend an even more ridiculous amount. The one who wants to spend a more ridiculous amount, it just depends on who's in power. But when we're in power, I thought we're supposed to be fiscal conservatives. And again, everyone wants to talk about vaccines and everything else. And that, believe me, I've got a whole expose, which, by the way, we'll prepare yourself because we're going to skip to it. I'm going to have to skip to it to get to it.
All right.
Skip to it to get to it. So just prepare yourself. I'm going to do, I'll tell you when. Because I got to do the next one because it's just too funny. So, I mean, again, this is a major defeat. Well, it's 4D chess. Okay, did you ever hear the numbers here? It promises, though, that the government's going to be fiscally responsible in 5 years. Folks, I'm 56. I've been if you're younger, if you're older, you know this, and you're going to have to deal with Trump in an honest way. Doesn't mean we don't love him. Don't you deal with, you love your kids. Don't you deal with them honestly? Mm-hmm. You love them, but you deal with them honestly. My entire life following politics, that's what I hear from Democrats and Republicans. And if we govern the same as Democrats, then why do we bother to get elected? $37 trillion in debt, and that's with Republican. We were a little under $1 trillion in debt in 2000. We're now $37 trillion in debt. Hussein Obama, George W. Bush put us $9 trillion in debt total. So he added $8 trillion to the debt himself in 8 years, trillion per year. Then you had Hussein Obama come in and break all records and all previous debt combined by adding $11 trillion to the debt. And then you had Trump come in because of COVID, added $7 trillion to the debt. And Joe Biden came in and his is double digits debt in 4 years. And what are we doing? See, what we're doing is we're spending at COVID levels still. And if we simply went back before, spent at pre-COVID levels, we wouldn't be adding to the debt. It still would not be fiscally responsible, but we'd still be adding to the debt, but not at its current levels. But why are we going back to, why is it that we went up? Remember this, how it went. In 2019, we brought in about about $4 trillion in tax revenue per year, and we spent $5 trillion. So we're adding $1 trillion per year. In 2020, we had to have all these salvation from COVID bills that got passed. And then, of course, you had the Inflation Reduction Act and all these different things that Biden brought in, huge omnibus and minibus spending bills. But it all started under Trump in 2020. We had to spend for COVID. Massey was one of the very few. And Thomas Massey makes some asinine votes himself, just so you know. So it's critical. I'm not jumping on board 100% with anybody. But we jacked up the spending to what, basically $4 trillion worth of debt. COVID hits, and then we spent $7 trillion per year. $2 trillion, a little under $1.8 trillion in debt per year under COVID. $7 trillion was spent on COVID during Donald Trump's reign alone. A little bit of a trickle into Biden, but $7 trillion, of which they can only trace $800 billion, was spent on the disease. So where did the other $6.2 trillion go? Into the pockets of Democratic Party NGOs. That's where it went. And that's where all of this is going, by the way. And aren't you glad the National Endowment for Democracy and the Brookings Institute and all the Soros Foundation and Open Society Foundation and all the myriads of tributaries off of all those NGOs are being funded by you again, and this time by a Republican Congress? Does it make you feel better that Trump's behind the funding of Democratic Party NGOs? This is the facts, folks. I know this costs me viewers. Listen, I am the all-time record-setting pastor in America in one category. I'm number one. And that's people getting up in the middle of my messages and walking out of the service. I mean, to do that at our church, it's very obvious you're walking out. I'm number one. So I'm used to people walking out on the truth. And I love Trump. If he's running again in 2028, I'd vote for him. I'm just saying, this is a enormous mistake, and that's the perfect summation. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's get off of it. I can't stop talking about it. Can't believe it's 9:52. Will, it's all Will's fault. It's Will's fault tonight. Aaron's fault.
It's tomorrow. Will's fault.
It's Will's fault.
Sorry, Tom.
It's all right, Will. All right, the Gateway Pundit. Here's a classic one for you. Women's College of Massachusetts awards Richard Levine honorary degree to trans official from the Biden administration. So the Women's College awards honorary degree to trans official from the Biden administration. That's the man, fully penis man. Never got it lopped off. Doesn't even have the guts to have it lopped off. You're going to call yourself a woman, go get it lopped off. And get a nice vaginal inversion. They take your little pee-pee thing, jam it back in your body, and make it like a fake little man vagina. Those are the things I can't say from the pulpit anymore that I used to say. Got to draw a line somewhere.
True.
Inverted man vagina. His vagina. Her penis and his vagina. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I, Will? All right, there we go. Okay, thank you. That told me where I was. All right, Nick's order video. I just had to show you this because I had this for last night. It's too good not to show you. It's too much fun. And then we're going to go into vaccines. Well, I'll just tell you when we get there. It's too hard to do it now. But anyway, Nick's order video. Jesse Water just sent a correspondent to troll James Comey. Play it for me.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, great to meet you. Director Comey,
yeah.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Jesse Waters from Fox has a question.
Yeah.
Why do you want to 86 Trump?
All right.
Director?
I'm not taking questions like that now.
But why would you...
Just sign the book.
Why would you post that? Director Comey, how was your interview with the Secret Service?
You want the book signed, really?
Absolutely.
Okay, you got it, bud.
Can you sign my seashell, too? Which beach is this that you're going to? You find a Kamala seashell, 8647. This is a politically charged beach, there.
Right? I will. They will.
Come on. Jordan, the seashell? You don't want to sign it?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night, Director.
All right, there you go. And Aaron, just roll it. But yeah, I mean, look at, just trying to find that little pocket if you can, and roll it back and forth. Look at Comey's security official. Look at this guy. That's the guy that Comey, wouldn't you be terrified not to leave if the guy in the jeans jacket came up to you with his hoop? What do you call those earrings, Aaron? Gauges. Yeah. Those gauge earrings. And this guy doesn't have 1 ounce of muscle in his entire body. And this guy comes up to you to kick you out. And that guy. Typical leftist. Now go to the next one for me. So look at this, just so everybody knows, how in the world does a career civil servant afford an $4 million mansion? Paul Sperry tweet. Crime pays. Fired FBI director James Comey has cashed in on corruption. Living large. And of course, his, just like Biden's cancer diagnosis, just like the shooting of the embassy officials for Netanyahu, Biden's cancer diagnosis to cover for the Biden administration, and then James Comey's 8647, and everyone needs to go to Alex Jones and buy his 4847 stuff. That stuff, that's brilliant by Alex Jones. Make 4748. But how did, and then James Comey, the day before his book launches, he finds on the beach from somebody else a shell formation written in the sand that says 8647. The day before he goes on his national book launching tour. Fired FBI Director James Comey has cashed in on corruption, living large in 11,000 square foot. I could get by 11,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Square foot castle worth $4 million and featuring a 4-car garage, elevator, exercise room, game room, library, secondary kitchen with butler's pantry and even maid quarters. Go to the next one for me, Will. And if that's not enough, how about his beach mansion?
Oh.
Ex-FBI Director James Comey, a little beach hideout with bulletproof windows and doors. Not a cheap cottage at Emerald Island. Not a cheap cottage at Emerald Island Beach in North Carolina. All right, Will, now skip way out ahead to Children's Health Defense, which is right after Katie Hopkins, if that helps at all. There you go. You are the man. Great job, Will. Appreciate it. All right, let's dive into the vaccine stuff. So obviously we've been having massive vaccine hearings up on Capitol Hill run by a true Republican. Aaron, side by side that for me just a second. This is Senator Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin. A true Republican. This is a guy who risks it all. And it did nearly cost him. Not this past election, but the one before. It nearly cost him everything. Well, it was this past election. Hopefully the upcoming one won't be that way. He nearly lost because he came out and was doing these hearings when nobody knew anything about vaccines, except for people like you and I. We were red-pilled from the beginning, but a lot of people weren't. And he was coming out and doing these hearings with Ryan Cole, with Robert W. Malone, with Peter McCullough. I'm trying to think of all the other, Del Bigtree, numerous other people. No popping them. Ed Dowd, all these people. He risked everything. That's what you have to be. If I preach the gospel, then I might have a small church. You know what you do, Aaron? Preach the gospel.
Yep.
That's what you do. If I preach the gospel, I might end up on a cross. You know what you do, Will?
Preach the gospel.
You preach the gospel. You know what you do when you know about the truth about vaccines from the Society of Actuaries? That's a 35 million excess deaths since the vaccine rollout and zero excess deaths from COVID. You tell people the truth. So here they are. Listen to the facts that are pouring out of this hearing, mainly by Peter McCullough, the videos that I have. A Children's Health Defense, which, of course, is RFK's website and Twitter and all social media platforms. Truth Bomb, Peter McCullough doesn't hold back. It was not safe by design, the COVID-19 vaccination. Play for me.
80% of Americans took a vaccine. 20% didn't. 20% did not take a vaccine. The vaccine was never safe enough for me to take. Messenger RNA, devised by Pfizer and Moderna, has been chemically modified to be unassailable to enzymes in the body to be broken down. The messenger RNA is found in the human heart of people who die after the vaccine. It's found in the brain. The spike protein is found everywhere in the body. Three studies now show the spike protein is circulating in the blood for 6 to 9 months after people take the shot. This part of the virus, the lethal part of the virus, in the vaccinated, it's circulating in the blood. And then they take a booster, they get more circulating in the blood. It is a killer protein. It cannot be safe. It was not safe by design. Safety trumps efficacy. We cannot tolerate false drug claims. And we saw a poster behind Senator Blumenthal making a false drug claim that vaccines saved millions of lives, specifically the COVID vaccine. Well, let's take a look at that. When someone signs consent for a vaccine, Senator Blumenthal, does the consent form say it's going to save their lives? Of course it doesn't. It's not on the FAQ. There's never been a prospective, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial ever showing that COVID-19 vaccines reduce mortality or hospitalization. There's not even a valid non-randomized study.
So you had Senator Blumenthal come up there with a graphic, one of the cardboard things behind him, say the vaccines save millions of lives. I'm just wondering, remember from the pregame, if you have Al Cinder, the reporter, she goes up and says, Where did you get that data verified from? Would she ask him that? Absolutely not. If you're talking about Afrikaners being killed, that it's verified that they're being killed in South Africa, she wants that to be verified. But Blumenthal's false assertions about the vaccines, no call for verification, saying that they saved millions. I'd love to see them prove that. How would you ever prove that? You'd have to know exactly how many people had COVID, how many people got the vaccine, and how it saved their lives, because it was a 99.98 survival virus without a vaccine, and now you're much less likely to survive afterwards, as proven by Australia, where more people died of Omicron, the least virulent variant, than Delta and Alpha combined, the most virulent variants. Because they have no immune system. They have really a form of AIDS called VAIDS, with no immune system. The S-spike protein is immune, as Dr. McCullough says, unassailable by enzymes. So it just sits in people's bodies. And you know what it is? What is COVID-19? It's an inflammation disorder. What does S-spike proteins, which are transferred, driven throughout the body by nanolipid particles. That's what brings them all around the body, are nanolipid particles, and they just sit there in their bloodstream. Doesn't stay in the injection site. Did they promise that it would? Yes. Did it? No. And how can imagine being somebody as incoherent as Richard Blumenthal, who is a valor stealer, by the way, which is a felonious federal crime, but that's who he is. But anyway, has Blumenthal ever looked at the Society of Actuaries, which is insurance, life insurance companies, which said that there was a strange spike in excess deaths starting not in 2020 at all, zero in 2020, starting in February of 2021 to where it's now 35 to 36 million people have died. All those people are people with life insurance, though. So we don't know how many people have actually died. Did Blumenthal look at any of that? And then you have what Peter McCullough, so Dr. McCullough said about safety always trumps efficacy. Well, here in this case, you have no safety or efficacy because it was in the vaccine trials that the vaccine didn't stop transmission, didn't stop infection. What's the point of taking it? And remember, they were saying the hospital was filled full of unvaccinated people. And then Rochelle Walensky was finally put under oath in front of Congress, and she was asked, was that in fact the case that the hospitals were filled with the unvaccinated? Remember what Aaron Steve Aaron can remember. What was Biden's? This is going to be like a cold, dark, whatever summer, and everyone's going to die because they're unvaccinated and the hospitals are filled. This is a pandemic of the unvaxxed. Well, Walensky had to confess under oath, had to testify under oath that there was never a study of who was actually in the hospital. So they never knew who was in the hospital. They just said the hospital was full of the unvaxxed. A, the hospital wasn't full. B, it wasn't full of the unvaxxed. They had no idea who it was. And the people who were actually tested and asked were all vaccinated. I mean, you're looking at a COVID death rate. Basically, 9 out of 10 were vaccinated. And really, it's 10 out of 10. So it's just all just false assertions. Let's go to the next one. Human spectre video. Senator Ron Johnson, again, with Peter McCullough. Play for me.
And do you have any science to back up your opinion?
The best data are autopsies. So in the largest autopsy series published to date, I know because I'm the senior author, of all the deaths we examined, and we re-reviewed them, we had an adjudication committee, we had ways of arbitration, deciding on did the vaccine cause death, the answer is, of these cases that came in for autopsy after vaccination, 73.9% of individuals, it was determined that the vaccine was the cause of death. First author is Holscher and colleagues. He's sitting right behind me.
So that Blumenthal said that these vaccines save lives. Does he look at the studies? No. Does he look under the microscope? No. Just microscope? No. Does Anthony Fauci ever look under the microscope at a COVID-19 particle? No. Not at all. And you actually have real studies done by cardiologist, but Richard Blumenthal, Valor Stealer, he stands back there with his cardboard cutout. Vaccines save millions. Slava Ukraine. Ukraine good. Russia bad. I mean, it's just simplistic political tropes. That's all that it is. Political propaganda. Vaccines save millions. Just save anybody. Now they're doing postmortem studies on people who died of the vaccine, of these autopsies. And they bring in all of these people that died. They have a very simplistic study, and 73.9% of them, these are not, and as Peter McCullough says, these are not one-off studies. These are peer-reviewed studies that are being suppressed by the medical community because the medical community pimped and hoarded the vaccines. But these studies are undeniable. Eventually, they will be unsuppressible. You will not be able to sequester them. It's going to come out. 73% of the people in these autopsy studies died of the vaccination. They're sitting there with inflamed hearts with S-spike protein all around them and blood clots that look like calamari. It's undeniable. Absolutely undeniable. But yet, there's Blumenthal. Vaccines save lives. And I got my Ukraine and my trans flag and Slava Ukraine and vaccines save lives. Together alone, alone together. We're in this together. It's all lies. Everything's a lie. And I could go on a vaccine rampage about, you know, the Naomi Wolf breakdown of the Pfizer vax and what was done, what wasn't done. The pregnant women, 28 out of 32 women miscarried in the vaccine trial. And that was put down, marked down by Pfizer as vaccine side effect naturally resolved. That's how they classified a miscarriage. 28 out of 32 women miscarried. And there you still got Blumenthal. I'm just using him as the poster child because you'd have any of them, whether it's, you know, whether it's Schumer, whether it's Iona Presley, whether it's Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar, Pelosi, Sheldon Whitehouse, anybody you want to name, they'd all be doing the exact same thing. And they're just speaking out of abject stupidity. Here's a good one, though. I put this in because it's just enjoyable to listen to. Vigilant Fox video, Joe Rogan just revealed a new study estimating the COVID-19, him and Aaron Rodgers, COVID-19 mRNA shots have killed more Americans than WW1, WW2, and Vietnam combined. Play for me.
Sent Jamie this study, VAERS-adjusted data, and other derived from the MIT Florida Department of Health study findings that yield a conservative range of 470,000 to 600,000 American deaths from the COVID-19 mRNA shots.
That's it?
More than, well, just that alone. That's a lot of people, man. More than World War I, World War II, and Vietnam combined. If that's true. It indicates Pfizer, this is Pfizer alone, so this is not even Moderna. Oh, okay. Pfizer alone likely killed over 470,000 Americans. They found a 36% increase in all-cause mortality among Pfizer recipients versus Moderna.
Yeah, but they saved millions.
Yeah, I keep hearing that.
Yeah, see, Aaron Rodgers is mocking the propaganda. Save millions. Just repeat it over and over again. Prove to us they saved millions. I'd love to see that peer-reviewed study that shows these vaccines save millions. They didn't save anybody. 36 million excess deaths, and those are people with life insurance. From the Society of Actuaries, which is a bunch of left-tard liberal life insurance companies that are denying that it's the vaccination. When you just had Peter McCullough, 73.9% of those that they autopsied post-vaccination died of the vaccination. Do you know how many people died within 8 hours of the vaccination? It's stunning how many people did. Mm-hmm. Right after they took it, they're dead. And nobody cares. Think about these numbers. Joe Rogan put them out there. And this, oh, by the way, this is exactly, we had Peter McCullough on this podcast, and he's been espousing these exact same numbers for years. And by the way, so is Ed Dowd. Exact same numbers. 36% increase in all-cause mortality for the vaccinated. That's kind of a big number. Would everybody agree? And by the way, it's not over. You got to look at a 7-year run minimum with this stuff. 7 years. And we're only 4 years in. It's not nearly over. People are still dying from this thing. I mean, you have to think about this. Peter McCullough. Yeah, great. That's perfect, Darren. Peter McCullough. And isn't world-renowned, I mean, world-renowned cardiologist. Written, we had him on the podcast. Basically written every substantive paper about cardiology over the last 30 years. And that's hyperbolic. But really, that's his level of credibility. Of course, he is ostracized from the medical community now, even though he's one of the foremost cardiologists of his generation. But he's been espousing this, all of these numbers, for years. All of these numbers, exactly the same. So is Ed Dowd. These exact numbers. So you just think about the death count here. Rogan, I just sent Jamie the study. Various adjusted data and other derived from MIT. MIT, that's no right-wing institution. Florida Department of Health study findings that yield a conservative range of 470,000 to 600,000 American deaths from the COVID-19 Pfizer vax. Not Moderna, because half people took Moderna, or a third, or whatever it is, took Moderna. So how many actual deaths are there? No, come on, we'd all notice that. No, you wouldn't. It's a country, they say 330 million people, or 400 million people live here, because that's from 2006 census. You'd notice it. Believe it or not, you won't notice it unless you yourself are victimized by it. And like Peter McCullough said, he never saw, in his entire cardiology career, I don't know if it's like cardiological career, whatever it is, but he saw two patients with myocarditis, two. And now he's dealing with thousands. Explain that, Will. Explain that, Aaron. Explain that, viewers. How is it that a world-renowned cardiologist he's in his 60s, has been a cardiologist for a minimum of 30-plus years, saw two myocarditis patients. That's how rare that is. And now he's actually treating thousands of them. Explain that away, leftards. Explain that away. If they want verification, okay, there it is. 30, this, Aaron knows this stuff, Will knows this, because they've been doing this podcast with me from the beginning. You've heard this number from this podcast a myriad of times. 36% increase in all-cause mortality in Americans. 36%, folks. So put the numbers together. 600,000 people died of the Pfizer vaccination. Let's be, Aaron, you know how charitable I am.
Yeah.
Moderate. Very moderate.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I'm not a side taker or anything.
No.
So you just add Moderna there. Let's add another 300,000. So 900,000 people died of the vaccination in this country. All the while, per year in America, under Biden, 100,000 people a year were dying of fentanyl poisoning. So think about those deaths. Not to mention, of course, that we're butchering between 1 to 2 million per year in the womb in America. All those deaths. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, because he is a liar and the father of lies, yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. That's Jesus speaking in John 8:44 and 45. Oh, I mean, there's so much more on this. I'm not going to keep going. That's good. I got the whole rest of it is on pregnancy-related stuff, and it's starting off with Michael Yeadon, Nicholas Holscher. I mean, it's just stunning stuff, absolutely stunning. But if I get into it, it's an hour. I mean, that's more than an hour. It's an hour per sheet. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Peace us, $47. Nate Dad, $20. Mike Griffith, $10. Bagel Boy, $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Really love and appreciate you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Stick around for the post game. God bless you.